Okay, this is Joan Weaver and with Rosetta Grasp from the Kinsley Library, and we are in the home of Sally Frame. It's April 4th, 2011, and we're interviewing for the Kinsley Library. Okay, Sally, what is your full name?
Sally Josina Wilson Frame.
And where do you currently reside?
It's on a farm outside of Kinsley. It's 1244 Highway 56.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Kinsley, in a little house on Kinsley Avenue.
And you want to give us the year and the date?
Oh, okay. On January 11th, 1937.
And what were the names of your parents?
Josina Benton Wilson and Jerome K. Wilson.
Okay, and Benton was her maiden name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what were your two sets of grandparents?
Okay, it was G.E. and Penelope, or they go by Wilson, was my father's parents, and Lewis and Josina Benton were my mother's.
And how does Lewis spell his name?
L-E-W-I-S.
Okay. The rest was easily spelled, wasn't it? We quite often I'll stop and ask you how to spell something because our transcriber just
Like grandma was Nell to everybody, but her name, she wanted me to name one of my daughters Penelope, but I nixed that. I named a doll Penelope after grandma.
Okay, did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had a brother, Kermit Lewis Wilson, and he died in 58. And he was in the Coast Guard, and he had peritonitis, and so, yeah, I lost him when pretty young.
And that was your only sibling?
And
then,
yes, uh-huh.
And what did your father?
He was a lawyer.
He was a lawyer.
Yeah, and my grandpa was a lawyer, and my husband and my son.
So, what brought your first people to Edwards County?
Okay, well, my grandpa, G.E., came to Edwards County, did his autobiography. He had an uncle that ended up here, I don't know how, and so he came out with him, and Grandpa came out and did some insurance, and then he read for the law. That's what they used to do, read for the law. So he read for the law and became a lawyer.
Does that mean just like homeschooling yourself?
Exactly, uh-huh, yeah, you could, and then you pass some sort of a test or something like that. And that's
what Abraham Lincoln did.
Yes, yes, just like Abraham Lincoln. That was my grandpa. He would have liked Abraham Lincoln, by the way. You know, he was, if Abraham Lincoln had lived and hadn't been assassinated, Grandpa would have been alive during his time. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just think, you know, how close the generation, yeah. You know, you think, my God, my grandpa could have been alive at the same time Abraham Lincoln was.
And the other side of the family, how did they get out to Edwards County?
Well, they did not. They lived in Oberlin.
Okay.
They and my mother and daddy met at Washburn in college.
Okay.
And but no, they were farmers forever, I think. Mm-hmm. And then during the Depression, my grandpa lost all his money. He, Grandpa Benton, he had some cattle going to Chicago, and that was the like in 29, and it fell before the date of Chicago. So they had to, yeah. So they had to cut back on their living. I didn't know this. They lived in a little old farmhouse that had wood burning stove and stuff. I thought it was so cool. You know, I thought it was great to go to grandma and grandpa's house, but I guess it wasn't so cool. So, but anyway, but my other grandpa that lived in town, they were fine. I know they were the only ones that had a car. Dad, we did not. Our family did. My folks did not have a car. My grandpa had a car. And we thought that was cool, you know, but everybody was hurting mm-hmm. during the Depression, so nobody knew anything, you know, I mean, but, you know, I can remember the stories during the Depression, but I don't remember because I was very young.
Very young.
Yes, I was.
Very young. Do you remember anything about World War II?
Well, I was going to say, I can remember my dad went to join the Navy, and he was like 42 when he went in, right after Pearl Harbor. I do not remember Pearl Harbor. I remember him being gone, and I remember him coming back once because my grandpa was sick, and I took my daddy in his uniform to show and tell. I thought that was so cool. And I can remember, I remember when Roosevelt died, we cried, and I remember when the war was over, we marched around the old Methodist church with little flags. But, you know, but I cannot remember Oh, and I also remember right after the war, my cousin came back from the East, and he had bubble gum, and I thought, that was so cool, because they didn't have bubble gum during the war.
Oh.
And I chewed that until it was black. I'm afraid. Saved it at night time and chewed it, but I don't know if that's interesting or not, but it's...
Well, now, did your father enlist?
Yes, he enlisted.
He enlisted, yes. I guess I didn't ask... Your brother was older than you?
Yes.
So there were two little kids, but he enlisted?
Uh-huh, he enlisted. He thought he ought to go, so he went. And, he was in shore patrol over there. And I know, and he was stationed in Honolulu. And this was right after Pearl Harbor. That's when he went. And I can remember that, well, Rex Strait, and I know there's two or three other young, 18 or 19-year-olds came, were in the hospital there, and Daddy just kind of, I get emotional because he befriended them, and so Rex, from then on, he'd do anything for Daddy. Anyway, that. But he was the old man,
mm-hmm.
and I can remember he'd say he'd go and he took care of drunk sailors, but he was older.
Yeah.
And so he'd go into a bar, there'd be some fight or something, and they'd say, what are you going to do about an old man? And he'd say, well, just give me a while. So he'd go back to the base, or whatever it's called, pick up two of the biggest sailors that he could pick up, throw them back and said, this is what I'm going to do about it. And he had the big sailors take care of them. my daddy wasn't a dummy.
No. So there were Kinsley kids who were at Pearl Harbor.
Well, they might have joined right after the war. I don't know, Ray Gaskell
Well, you said they were in the hospital.
They were in the Pacific. They were in the Pacific
theater.
Yeah. Yes, and but I know Rex there, and I cannot remember. But there was two or three local boys that were there, mm-hmm. and so Daddy just sort of befriended them while they were there. And I don't know how badly they were wounded. I'm not absolutely positive. I know. They were there, and Daddy took care of them. I don't know if they were wounded or stationed there, but they were there, and so I think they must have had been wounded.
Yeah. We'd like to interview Rex, but we've got to get him back here.
Yeah, yeah, and Ray Gaskin, we've lost him. We've lost all these guys. I know after the war, when I started becoming aware, I thought, these guys, I would read a lot about World War II, and I said, we named our son after Ray, and I said, it's just like history is alive right here. Mm-hmm. It just amazed me. It just amazed me when I didn't really realize that, because I was so young. World War II did not mean a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I can remember soldiers and remember the troop trains going through town. I bet you can't remember those, can you? I do remember that.
What was that like?
That was we waved at him, and I was too young to flirt, or I would have flirted. Rosetta doesn't believe that. You don't think I ever was too young to flirt, do you?
And you remember the shortage of bubble gums?
I remember the shortage of bubble gum, and no
ways it affected your life.
I'm trying to think.
Now, while your father was away, your mother took care of you in your same home.
Yes, in the same home, and she did work for the newspaper. And I think it was still because she had to do something, she worked, went around, got ads, and worked in the newspaper office. Just loved it. That was the only time she ever worked out of the house. But she, and I think, what's the name of the newspaper? Maybe it was still the Mercury back then. Or the Graphic? What would have been?
During the war,
she worked while Daddy was there. But after school, I go down to the, go down to the Graphic, and it was in that building close to. You remember where it was? It was close to where Rexall's was on Main Street.
That was the Mercury.
Well, that's where she worked. That's where she worked.
I think at that time it was where Evelina Craig had her.
That's right. That's where it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she worked for the Kinsley Mercury.
Yes, she worked for Kinsley Mercury. But really, the war was kind of vague. I know Alan remembers much more. He was enough older mm-hmm. that so much more, you remember so many more things than I do, but, and I don't know if, I do one story I do remember that after the war, when the first time I saw Jewish Holocaust pictures, I remember just being stunned, but that, you know, I don't know what they've been shown today. You know,
maybe at the movies?
Or? No, it was on the TV. It was on our TV, and so it must have been like in the 50s, early 50s or something, when the first time, and that's when I became aware of the horror of this, things going on, you know, but I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Some people might have, but I didn't.
So your dad was always in the Pacific Theater?
He was always in Hollywood the whole time he was.
Yeah.
And I can't think of. Trying to think of anything else. I was your daddy show and tell bubblegum.
You were in elementary school?
I was in elementary school, yeah. And like, yeah.
Did the school do anything to support the war that you remember?
I cannot remember. Mm-hmm. I kind of think it was kind of, they thought children didn't need to know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's right, but but at the time we were pretty well protected, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, because, and I know I asked my mother once, I said, well, because there was these Japanese concentration camps that we had, I don't know what they called them, but that's what they were. And there was one out by Dodge City or out in western Kansas somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And I said, Mom, because she's very liberal, you know. And I said, what did you think about those things? Because Sally says, honestly, at the time, I didn't think about it. She said, I was worried about your daddy, you know, and I was taking care of your kids. And she said, I just wasn't aware. Mm-hmm. You know, just to be honest, she just wasn't aware of it. You know, now everybody's kind of, oh, dear. You know, that wasn't probably the right American thing to do, but she, and I didn't know anything about those things until after the war either. You know, there's a lot of that stuff that we just didn't know.
Which school did you go to?
It was Southside.
Southside?
Southside, yes. And and the country kids went to the north side. And all the cute boys went to the north side.
That's country could.
Yes. And, oh gosh, I can't think of anything else during the war. I can't think of anything. Maybe later on, but said I was a little oblivious. I do remember when Roosevelt died, because we were the only Democrats in town, I think. I do remember.
You remember all the parties the other people were having?
Yeah. You know, but I can remember when we'd have little boats and grade school or something, you know, and Bruce Brand and I were the only ones who voted Democrat. There's always two Democratic votes.
Was your family Catholic?
My family was sort of nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. They were affiliated with the Episcopal Church, and I was baptized in Episcopal Church, but we were very non-churchy.
Okay.
You know, I always consider myself, and this probably go on the air, but I was a Christian agnostic is what I consider myself. Because I think the Bible was great, I can't go the whole way, but, I know my, that's what my son said, Mom, you're a Christian agnostic, and I said, yeah, that's a good way to put it, because I believe in the Bible, but not the whole thing.
Okay, let's see. I don't know. You want to leave elementary school and go up to high school? What are some of your activities? How big was your class? Were you graduated? What year?
Well, we had one of the biggest classes. There was like 50, I think, almost 50 kids in our class. It was a big class. And
what year was the graduating class?
55. Yeah, and it was 55. And to me, it was like being like Mayberry, USA. You know, I mean, it was just... It was just fun, you know. The boys were cute at that time. Some of them didn't turn out to be cute, but I'm not mentioning any names. But no, it was just, you know, you worried about. Oh, one of the stories I can remember. We all wore these petticoats. Were you still? Did you wear those petticoats? I mean petticoats. Mm-hmm. They went out at the biggest. That you could get, and when you go to the movies, you'd have to sit there and you'd have to hold your petticoats down to see the movie.
Squish them into the chair.
Yeah, you know, you had to hold them down. And I can remember Deanne Miller always had the biggest petticoats. Always were bigger than my petticoats. But I can just feel that so funny that they, if you had to hold the dang things down to be able to see the movie, otherwise, and they would wire in them. You can't, mm-hmm. Did you remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you'd have wires in them, and sometimes the wires get sprung, so the petticoats were all weird looking, you know. I do, and Bobby socks, we did wear little socks. And we never wore jeans or stuff in school, except maybe on Friday. Yeah, uh-huh. They had Friday. And in the summer, well, we swam, and we'd go skinny dipping at the river.
Just girls?
Just girls. Just girls.
I want to clarify that.
Yes. And, well, the boys did, too.
Yeah, but separate.
Separate, yes, unless we heard them. And then we'd all screech and yell and run and get our towels, you know, and stuff. But, you know, it was just really a pretty innocent time for mm-hmm. for us, or for me. You know, I'm speaking to me. My growing up was pretty innocent and happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, but I, and high school, what else is in high school?
What activities were you in?
Well, they did not care if girls were in sports. They were not interested in girls, and I can remember we had gym, and we had to wear these stupid little bloomer things, and our coach, and I don't know if he's still alive or not, but the guy that was the coach could care less about the girls' sports, so it was the study hall for us, unless we wanted to bounce the ball around. But he was usually doing something, and we just, it was just a free hour as far as we were concerned. Now, I wasn't that sporty. I loved swimming and dancing, but I wasn't that sporty as ball games. But some of my friends said, oh, they would have loved to have played mm-hmm. basketball, you know, and they'd love to have done that stuff, but, you know, they just didn't.
You were
know.
You in the band?
Yes, I played the flute, and it was so-so, and the first time I figured out what a flute sounded like was I heard, what's his name, James Galway,
okay.
He's a flutist,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, my God, that's how it's supposed to sound, but it was a lot of fun, you know, the band, yes, I was in band, and we were in everything at the time, you know, band and...
Band met marching band with football.
Yes, and Mr. McCall was our band leader, and we go out every morning before school. We go out onto the football field. We go down the football field. Did you do this too, Rosetta? We go down the football field and do our little planned out little, you know,
shapes and maneuvers
that we're going to do for the game, and we practice on those. And I played flute, and then during marching band, I played the piccolo, which was really fun because it was so tiny that it was bitter cold and I could just stick that up my sleeve, you know, and I could keep warm, and all these guys had these big things, carry all these big things, but I had piccolo and I could just hide it and keep warm. And I was even less, I could play that even less well than I could the flute. But I was a good dancer. And what else did we do?
Did you take dance under Mrs. Scott?
Yes, I took dancing. I had dancing from the time I was in kindergarten until high school.
Mrs. Tap and ballet?
Tap, toe dance, ballet. Anything you think of, I did it. I wasn't good at the gymnastics that she taught some of the people. I could never do that. But I could tap and toe dance and ballet. And I was everything from a snowflake to a line dancer to a can-can dancer. So yes, I was in all the high school plays and we used to have the music. They had a music club here, and they'd have a program during the year. There's two or three organizations that have plays, you know, and they had like one time they put on Little Abner. Anybody remember that?
I've heard people
yes,
talk about
you know, Little Abner, and I did some sort of that. So I don't know what I did, you know. And I remember Uncle Al was that Injun Joe or whatever it was. You know, that real skit, and he'd come out with his little knock knees, and he was really, really funny. But everybody in town was in these things.
And these were held at the high school auditorium?
At the high school auditorium, you know, they had a all-school play, a junior play, a senior play, I think that, and then they had things that they did for the state...
Forensics?
Forensics thing. They had one act plays, and I was in all those, I think. Miss Losey did most of those, and I was in almost all those. But, yeah.
And what was the city of Kinsey like for you?
Well, we had everything. We had two clothing stores. We had Al's Clothing Store and M&M and then and Eller's. We had three. Yeah, M&M and Eller's kind of went together and then separated, you know. And we had a shoe store. They sold shoes in Eller's. And then two or three or four grocery stores, the little ones. And we had Mammals and Weinheimer's. And I can't remember what the others were. And, of course, two drug stores. You know, Rexall's and Cops, and it seemed like we had everything. We had a lumber yard, we had a paint store, we had a, I were kind of going over that. And then, and all the businessmen had their offices upstairs over the things down there. My grandpa's office up, all the almost the lawyers and the doctors. And I honestly, God, don't know how people got up those stairs to get to the doctor, especially, you know. Those stairs were just straight up, and yeah, I remember.
Was back at that time, maybe the doctor, when you couldn't get up, did the house call?
Oh yeah, there were house calls. Oh yeah, I can remember if I was sick, which I wasn't very often. You know, we had Unruh came to the Dr. Unruh, who was a sweet old guy, would come to the house lots of times. We had Unruh and Snoberlin, and those are two main doctors. I don't remember if there were any other doctors in town at the time. We had chiropractor, Dr. Gear was a chiropractor.
And dentist?
Yeah. Eisenman and Rigger, Dr. Rigger, who I went to, and Dr. Eisenman.
An eye doctor?
I don't remember an eye doctor. I can't remember an eye doctor. I don't think we did. I don't remember. I did get glasses, but I don't remember where I got the glasses, because I wore glasses from like, sixth or seventh grade. You know, I wore them pretty often, but I don't remember. Oh, but surely I had to go to an eye doctor to, I guess. I don't remember. Do you remember right now?
Mm-mm. I went to one, but I don't know where everybody else went.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I went. And whatever. And, you know, and we had Chevrolet, Ford. I guess those are going to be two cars, you know.
Dodge.
Huh? Was there a Dodge here, too? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. We drove, well, when we finally got a car, it was usually Oldsmobile. I remember my dad had a little fishing car we call it the Hoopy, and it was a little like a 47 Ford, a little tiny car. And I was, I hit 18 before anybody else in my class because I was in January, so I could drive. And I, so my girls and one or two of us would get in the front with me, and then the rest would sit. The trunk lid would open up, and then they'd sit in the back. And terribly unsafe, you know. But we go all over town like that, and out country like that. You know, there are no rules, no seat belts. Oh Lord.
And no one got hurt.
And nobody got hurt. No one. I didn't have a wreck. My brother had a few wrecks, but I never had a wreck. I never got a ticket till I was 65. And the little whippersnapper.
You didn't deserve it.
And I absolutely did not deserve it. And I told him, I said, you realize I'm 65. I think it was 65. It was old. And if this is my first ticket, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you were going faster than you should have been.
And I need my quota.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And let's see, for entertainment, you had the Palace Theater.
We went to the movies every Saturday, and then every Sunday night we go to MYF. I did go to church every Sunday, the MYF. But the secret is that's because where all my friends and all the cute boys went to MYF. That's why we went there. And then we'd go to the movie afterwards.
Mm-hmm. You know. So you went Saturday and Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a different movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
They changed movies.
Yeah. So. Now, when I was little, we'd go in the matinees. You know, they had matinees, the Cowboys, and, you know, they had everything, two movies in the afternoon. Were they still having when you were... Yeah, they had two movies and go, and I
so it'd be two movies in the afternoon, then something different at night.
I think so.
And then another something different on Sunday.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. Did they have it during the week? I can't remember. Yes. But they had movies most of the time. you know. And I can remember, I hit 12, and I can't remember the guy that ran the theater, but Houston Sterrett. But he knew what everybody's birthday was. So when you were 12, you paid 25 cents. You did not pay the dime. You paid 25 cents. And I went to the movie with a little boyfriend, George II, and he paid for the movie, and he had to pay full price for me. And he had to spend the dime on him and full price for me. Oh, yeah.
Now, we haven't had anybody talk about MYF before. What were your activities in the Methodist Youth Group?
Well, usually it was kind of interesting, but we would talk about what people should do in different things, and I was always outspoken on what I thought should.
Or ethics type, but Christian ethics.
Yes, Christian ethics type of thing, and I really did like MYF. One reason I could tell my opinions on everything, and I always had them, and told them when people were getting carried away a little bit and stuff, but it was pretty good, and I did go to Sunday school quite a bit, too, because of the same group of people, mm-hmm. I was baptized in the Episcopal Church, but there wasn't that many kids in the Episcopal Church, and I guess one of the stories about churches and stuff. I can remember I was Episcopal Church, it's kind of like the Catholic Church. You go and you take lessons before you become mm-hmm. a member. And I won't mention the name, but this lady was teaching the Episcopal Church. Everybody in town knows who she was. But anyway, she was teaching, and one day she was talking, and she was talking about heaven and hell and stuff. And I said, well, my grandpa doesn't go to church. And I said, is he going to hell? And she said, he probably will if he doesn't go to church. I was fairly sweet back then, and I got up and I went home, madder than hell. When I went home, I said to my mother, and I said, Mother, I'm never going to go back to Mrs. Water. And I said, she said this, and she said, that's okay, honey, you don't have to, But I can remember just being, I think I told the lady, I said, if Grandpa's going to hell, then I am too.
After your outburst, you agree?
Yeah. And then I still, that's still up in the grabs if I go there or not. But I can remember that. That was one of my first times when I really did just was outspoken.
Now, why was your mother this liberal, and was your father also?
Yes.
Well, why? Where did this come from?
I honestly, God, don't know why they were just better people than some people. They were just more social conscious than some people. No, I don't know, because we never used the N-word, mm-hmm. and we never used any of those kind of words. And I know my mother said, my uncle came and said something about with the N-word, and she said, we do not use that word in this house. And we just never did that. And I can remember during the McCarthy era, it's kind of a balance between my folks. During the McCarthy era, I vaguely remember that. But I can remember Mother one time saying, Jerry, maybe you should keep your mouth shut sometimes. Because he was calling them, SOBs, and, he knew that was very un-American, what they were doing. And then other times, like with language and stuff, my mother would set her foot down and stuff. But I had some other people that said, how did you grow up in Kinsley, being like that? And, of course, most of the people I knew were pretty nice, even if they were Republicans.
But I'm trying to remember, I can't remember from half hour ago. Your mother grew up in Oberlin, in a farm family.
In a farm family. And they were Republicans. But mother...
And your mother and dad met?
In college. At Washburn College, when he was going to law school there. And he was 8 years older than her.
Would Washburn have been a hotbed of liberals? That could have...
I don't know. My folks and me and Seth just been sort of independent thinkers. I mean, just...
Well, that's a Kansan thing, too.
Yeah, and I don't know, but we just, we were... Daddy liked the unions, and, I just grew up that way. I grew up because my folks were like that. My folks, I don't know how they did it, because... Now, my Grandpa Wilson was fairly liberal. He loved Teddy Roosevelt, And
where did they come?
And that grandpa came from Ohio.
They're just moving across there.
Yeah, yeah, they came from, and my grandpa Wilson lived within 50 or 60 miles from where Alan's great-grandfather lived, you know, I mean, and then they just moved out maybe to Ohio, and he came on to Kansas, you know, but they probably never knew each other,
no.
But it's just, you know, how they migrated like mm-hmm. that, but my grandpa loved Teddy Roosevelt, but then when FDR came in, he became FDR a guy. I think he just, I don't know.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt was a sort of a free thinker.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't pigeonhole him. Either.
And I think of these things, I should ask my folks.
No, it's it'd be interesting to try to figure out where
because
that.
Because there were not very many Democrats. Now there are. Now there are Democrats in Edwards County. But really, at the time, there were very few. Very, very few.
Let's see.
I know Daddy was the county attorney at one time. And I don't know, maybe there was no lawyers, other lawyers, but he ran a Democratic ticket and got it. But most of the time, you know, you didn't get it if you had a DEM by your name.
Yeah, right.
But
you had to, people had to know you.
Yeah, I had to know you. Yeah. Let's see, what else?
Okay, that's, because you're a city girl, you always remember having electricity.
Yes.
Telephone.
I can remember visiting my good friend Judy Kopp before they got. I go out to her house and they did not have it. And I thought that was cool, you know. And then they got it not too long afterwards. And so I and my grandparents, you know, I can remember that. But you know, we always had electricity and refrigerator and stuff like that, you know. So, my grandmother, I remember. Had I think she had a refrigerator. She also had an ice box. I think maybe she didn't trust the refrigerator. So and I can remember the iceman coming. You know, the guy that the ice house burned down. It was out there on the highway, going out of town. It was in that big vacant lot. There was the ice house, and the guy would come around, and we'd chip ice off and put salt on it in the summer, and thought that was cool. So she had both, but. Anyway.
When did you get television?
Gosh, I think that was like I was and it was really snowy, I remember when I got it, but I think like I was maybe a senior in high school, you know, just that's when I first saw that about the Holocaust, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I think that was very late. And then I had that, then when I was in college, the only TV was down in the lounge, but I just never watched TV until after I got married and had babies, you know, we just didn't watch it,
yeah.
You know, just didn't watch it. I thought it was so cool, but
no know, time for that,
but we just didn't have time for it. Oh gosh, what else?
Can you talk any about your the law business?
I can remember we couldn't talk about the law business. I remember my grandpa and my dad, and it goes down to my husband and my son, but you did not talk about things that law business, you know, not all lawyers thought, but they just didn't discuss it. So my mother couldn't gossip, because even if she wasn't a gossiper in the first place, but if she would say something about somebody, they wouldn't know if she got it from daddy, you know, so she just didn't gossip. And I'm the same way. I, you know, you just don't talk about people, or they don't think you're getting it from your husband or something. So we just never did it. But I do remember one time going up to see my grandpa in the up above his building, and he was up there in this big old desk, and this guy came in with a hatchet, and I just happened to be there, and I said hi, and I and grandpa said, just wait over there for a minute, Sally. And so I waited, and guys, my wife just tried to kill me with this hatchet. I do remember that. And I said, goodbye, Grandpa. Or Grandpa said, Sally, why don't you leave? You know. But that's about the only,
wow.
Yeah. And I don't know who it was, but he said, but he had it in his hand. He said, my wife tried to kill me with this hatchet. That was about the only business I ever learned about.
This question comes because wasn't from here or anything. Sometimes the lawyers are the upper crust of the community.
I found that out later. I never felt that way. I never felt that way, and I did have one of my best friends say she said she felt like she was poor. This other friend was middle class, and I was upper class. But I never, ever thought of it that way. And I think probably because I was raised that way. You know, I just, it didn't make any difference, you know. But I think other people might knew it, you know. But yes, I did, because we did have a car, and when we go places, my dad always were taking me and the other girls different places, you know. And I guess they didn't have as much money, but I went to one of my best friend's houses, and her folks had an icebox, and it, I guess it was a rental house. Her mother was lovely, and I just never thought that way. I just thought that was a different house, and it was great, you know. I don't know why. I just never ever classified people that way. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. Everybody else, I guess, did, but I didn't. And I guess I because my best friend, one of my best friends, she said, "No, Sally, you never acted snotty." She said, well, another person in my class did. She does not like her to this day. But I just, no. But yes, I think it was.
Well, was there, and I've never been asked this, was there much of a social class system?
I don't think you could in a town this size, because there weren't that many people. You know, if you wanted to have friends, you just had friends, you know, and I don't think there was. Now, you know, I'd be interesting to have somebody from another point of view say, oh, yeah, there was, but I never thought there was. I never entered my mind that somebody didn't have as much money as we did, and we didn't have that much money until later on, you know, mm-hmm. but yes, I do think there was there must have been some, mm-hmm. but I was not aware of it. The older I get, the more I realize how much I wasn't aware of it.
And I was just thinking, too, when you're talking about your grandfather and father's office, you know, being upstairs above the store. Yeah. My grandfather had an office, insurance office, on the main street of a big town in Michigan. And I could go there and be up in the office and watch parades and things down below. Did you have that?
Yes.
That was
very cool. Yes, yeah. It was very cool. Oh yeah, we thought, and my friends thought, we always go up there, and Grandpa or Daddy always had candy, you mm-hmm. know, and we'd go mm-hmm. in to say hi to them, you know, and stuff like that. So that was fun. Yeah, I can remember that. And then they moved downstairs. After Grandpa died, my dad moved downstairs to an office down there by the theater. Mm-hmm. And they was in that office for a long time, and then Alan moved over there to where he is now.
Where the college is, or where?
Wait, right next. It was Ray Batt, the Netherlord town. It's his old office. It's right on. It's right on the corner, on March. You know, right there north. And
the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah.
Right next door to
it. Yeah.
So you said there was no social class, but what about the Mexicans in your class?
Okay, there was no blacks in our class, and there was Rosalie. Rosalie was, she married Pete Castaneda.
Is she Perez?
Rosalie Perez, yes. And we always said hi to him, but we didn't really socialize. And that's another thing I wasn't aware of, you know. And there was a couple in our class, I think, you know, but I wasn't really aware. I had my own little clique, like everybody does. And just, I would be interested in how they perceived me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really would be, but she'd be too bashful. But I really would be interested, because that doesn't mean I ignored a lot of because you have your own little world.
Mm-hmm.
Just the own little world, you know, and then you, like, and when you go to the class reunions, you know, you see these people, and you say, oh, right, we're in my class, you know, and you feel so snotty, you know, you really do. You feel like, I think I smiled friendly with everybody, but, you know, you really just had your own little group.
Well, this is a question we've never asked before either. Boy, I'm coming up with lots of them. I'm thinking about my experience. Were your classes in high school tracked so that one group was going to college and one group was not? Because they were in my high school, and that separated the class.
There was mixed, and
everybody took the same English class. Everybody,
yeah,
except for if maybe you were in the shop classes, that would separate you, or
something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Except I think most of the boys, even the ones in college, took. Of course, I would have loved to have taken shop.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have taken shop, but the girls didn't do that. You know, I took one about a few years ago, and Bill Inman had one, and I had more fun. I just came home. I want a lathe. I want this, Alan. I just would have loved to have done that, but no. Everybody took this. Everybody took the same Latin classes.
So you were in the classes with all the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But and once you step out of the class and got you, then you go to your clique.
Yeah. You know, you went after school, and I did not work in high school. And I'm to this day, I'm sorry. And my mother and I discussed this. And most of my friends did work at the drugstore or something. And I don't know exactly why I didn't.
Boys at the filling station.
And well, or they were farmers and they were working on the farms and stuff like that. And I never did, and to this
day. Well, you had, that's probably when you're so, you probably had enough money that Dad took care of you.
And I think my mother and I both said that was a big mistake, because both my girls worked, you know, and my boys, you know, the girls worked at Julie's and at Fox's and stuff, but to me, I felt like, and I felt a little left out after school a lot of times, because they'd have to go to work, and it made me feel kind of jealous, because I thought, crap, you know. So I would go home and sew.
Did you have a car when you turned?
No.
I didn't have a car.
I never had a car. I got a car about 5 years ago. My husband, Alan, and Mark had got me this cute little pickup, white pickup with blue trim on it, and Mark wanted to borrow it for the date that night, didn't hit a deer. So and he really hit a deer that time, my boys. Every once in a while, we missed a deer, and that's why we went off road, Mom. Okay. There was a lot of deer in my son's history, I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah. But this time there were some blood and guts on the car. So Mark thought, this works. You know? Glenn wasn't quite as sharp. He didn't, he just did it. He just wrecked the car. No, I didn't have a car. I could borrow the folks' car once in a while. But not too often. Mostly either you went with your boyfriend or
you walked.
Or you walked. You know, walked to and from the movie, walked to and from the lunchroom was up on North Side. And so I usually went home for lunch, but all the country kids, everybody went to North Side, you know, and you either catch a ride, you know, or you walked. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't think of, and the only kids that had cars were the country guys, you know, because they had to get in and out of town, but you know, I can't remember particularly any other kids having cars. You just didn't have a car. And I didn't have one in college. You know, I walked there, boy, did I have good legs in college, I tell you. Going up down those hills of Lawrence. Oh, yeah.
Your parents were college graduates.
My parents and Al's parents.
So there was no question about what you were doing after high school.
Yeah, I never, I don't know why I said I was going to KU, because my folks went to Washburn. So, you know, I wonder, to this day, I don't know why I went to KU. We didn't have any attachments there. I'm glad I did, because Alan was there.
That's why. You just didn't know it yet.
But, I just didn't. And Helen and Judy Kopp and Helen Owen and myself and Bruce Brand, I think, went to KU. And then there's quite a few went to Hayes, you know. And
there should have been a few going to K-State, I would think. And agricultural connection.
Yeah, they must have. But, of course, that's another time. You know, kind of in your own little world. Mm-hmm. And got up to college. And I don't know. I was kind of a homebody. I become a mama's girl, you know. I mean, when I go stay all night with people, I kind of would rather have them stay at my house. Stuff. The minute I got to college, I never got homesick. Ever.
Too much fun.
Too much fun.
You were living in the dorm?
And I'm living at North College. Mm-hmm. Yes. With all the
did you join a sorority? Or
No. I was asked, but I didn't believe in them. I was sort of at that. Yes, I thought that's just a real snotty thing. And no, I did not go up there. Alan was a delt, but he only went because they wanted him because he was in track, you know, and he went there and he was a freshman for about 2 weeks at the dorm at the Delt house, and they wanted him to do what freshmen have to do, and he says, I don't have time for this crap. I'm making my grades and going to college. So he just left it. Well, the next year they inducted him anyway when he was there. They wanted him there. But
were you in the dorm all 4 years?
No, then I stayed in private house. Private house.
Just a room? Or?
It was in a house. It was Miss Davenport, and she let rooms, and she was an old English teacher. And she had rooms upstairs, and let me see. There was three girls lived there, and I had a roommate, one of my best friends who's not with me any longer, and then a little gal from Turkey lived there. She was Yüksel Tekili, and I learned it.
You want to spell that name, can you?
T-E-K-E-L-I.
And that's, you're saying it, huh?
Tekili.
Tekili, and her first name?
Yüksel. Y-U-K E-L, I think. So,
why was she there from Turkey?
She was going to graduate school, and she taught me the national anthem in Turkish, and a lullaby, or, you know, a little kid's song in Turkey. And I know them both, but I don't know which is which. I can still sing them to the day, which I'm not going to. But
I thought that'd make a good video.
But I don't know, and so I don't know if ever met a Turkish person, I'd have to ask him, say a few words of your national anthem, because it'd be rather rude, wouldn't it?
So you could probably find it on the internet. So you had a room with Chris, kitchen privileges, no privileges?
No, the sweet little lady, like I said, she was a private English teacher, but she would have a coffee and a boiled egg and toast for us in the morning. And
Every morning.
Every morning.
Couldn't have cold cereal.
And we lived clear down. I bet it was a half a mile or so from the campus. And it was downhill. I mean, we lived downhill. And so every morning we have to go up to classes, you know. And so I go up in the morning to classes. And sometimes my legs, we always wore dresses, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when it's cold, my back of my legs would get chapped from my skirts rubbing the back of my legs, you know, but we'd go up there, and then I'd have to come down at noon, because sometimes Alan would drop me a letter, and I wasn't going to wait till nighttime to see if I got a letter from him. So come down, so I made that trip about four or five times, you know, a day, and I had the best looking legs you ever saw. But, I lived there. Let's see,
And then what'd you do so you had something for lunch and
then
we'd
eat on campus.
On campus for lunch and dinner too?
And then the girls and I used to go out, we went out to the first Kentucky Fried Chicken when they were still Kentucky, you know, and it was still just a little place, and by God, the Colonel came in one day.
The real Colonel?
The real Colonel came into this place, I can remember, and it was not just a kind of a restaurant, regular restaurant, but we did like the chicken, you know, and by God, the real Colonel came in one day, and I didn't realize what a big deal was until a little later, you know, but I can remember this cute little man, he looked just like the Colonel. and at nighttime, and we either walked there, and one of the gals that lived in the house had a car, or we'd drive, but I didn't know my directions in Lawrence for years, because I'd either be going with Alan or one of my friends, and, you know, and if you're driving, you don't pay attention to where you are, you know, but you just didn't go any place. But I do remember one time, Louis Armstrong was at college, and Yüksel, she was excited about as I was. And so we went up on campus, and usually you didn't go unless you had to have a date. Mm-hmm. But we said, forget it, for Louis Armstrong. So we went up to the Union, and I stood within, 5 feet of Louis. We went up, and we end up up by the drums, you feel I did, and got to see Louis. I could have reached out and touched him. That's one of my biggest thrills in my whole life. Wow. Yeah, that was really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Now, what was your major in college?
My major was elementary education.
And
dumbest classes you've ever seen. I mean, they were worthless. Even at KU, they were absolutely worthless.
And the fact there wasn't content, or they didn't help you be a teacher?
Both. The content, you know, I don't think you'd be a teacher until you teach. Mm-hmm. But the content was, you know, like if you go to elementary music class, you know, teaching, they would have you do little songs and stuff. You know, I mean, it was so stupid. I mean, they're absolutely worthless. Did you ever take any education? Didn't you agree with me?
It's just terrible.
It's just awful. I mean, you know, and they didn't, you know, and if you wanted to learn history, they didn't send you history classes. They teach you these crappy little, you know.
Elementary history.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was really, really bad. I don't know if it's any better now, but it was just absolutely worthless.
Oh, yeah.
It just worthless. Absolutely worthless.
It's,
I
so
mean, it's an easy A, you know, that's it. But I did that because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Now, what I liked, I loved Western civilization. I loved my English classes and stuff, but I wasn't a really ambitious, I guess, person. And I don't know, I just did that because I was in college. And just thought, okay, elementary education. I wouldn't. I loved teaching my kids and having four kids. I would have been a lousy teacher. Sorry. I didn't know I was interested in art until later either, you know. Or I would have taken some art classes, but I had no clue.
So how'd you meet Al?
Well, the August before we went to KU, Alan had been working out here in the summer over in Maxville, was a good friend. It's a convoluted story, but the friend's brother was dating one of my good friends, Helen. And Helen and Alan wanted a date, so Helen called me. And she thought she called somebody else first, but they were busy. So she said, "Sally, would you please do this?" So I said, "Okay." So Alan and I, so we had our blind date, was the first date.
Here in
Kinsley.
And
we went out
to
the sand.
Oh, well.
We went out to the sand pit, and I don't know. Oh well, hell, this is a repository. And we went out to the sand pit. They, crap, what did you tell them?
Oh, never your grandparents, your grandkids are going to
use. Oh, yeah. But anyway, so we went out to the sand pit, you know, which, no, it's a stupid thing to do, but we were out in the sand pit. And I don't know if you want to, but anyway, I think the only reason Alan dated me again was because I told him I didn't kiss on the first date. And he said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "How about the second?" And I said, "We'll see," or something. So anyway, that's how it all started.
Okay, so you met him. You met him here.
Yeah, met him here, and
you happened. Were both already enrolled in.
Yeah, and he was a senior when I was a freshman. Yes, and then I remember the first night I got there, he came to the dorm and they said, "You have a caller." You know, they call up, and I went down there. It was Alan, and so yes, so it was off and on for a year, and then it was on for the next year.
So did. No, you've hinted at, but he was quite an athlete.
He was All-American, and he was a national champion in cross country and in the mile. I can't remember all the things, but he was a national champion in a couple of things, and the All-American in a couple of things, and Phi Beta Kappa.
And these are all track.
And the track thing. So he was very, very good in track.
And did you know his reputation when you first met him?
No, I had no clue. And I know Helen talked to her brother later, and she said, "Well, Alan went out with an Al Frame," and he said, "Al Frame!" But at the time, track was the most important thing at KU. Mm-hmm. That was during the Bill Easton. I don't know if you know who Bill Easton was. He was a famous track coach, and we won everything at KU. It's kind of like basketball now, you know. It was just the only thing going at KU was the track, so it was a big thing at that time. And, but no, Alan was. I was really probably not noticed in college, but Alan was a big deal in college.
Well, how long did it take you to figure it out up there that you were going out with a star athlete?
Well, about the second day, you know, maybe that's one easy day because I didn't know who he was, you know. But yes, no, but I was very impressed. But I can remember coming home after I hit the first date, and my mother said, "I said, you know, Mom, that's the first man I've ever dated that's smarter than I am."
And he was a pre-law?
No, he was in history. He was history. And then after the Army, he came back and got his master's in history. Then he decided he grew up in small towns. So he thought, and by then I was married and he was in history while we had seen as a baby. So I think he thought, well, having a family, small town's a good place to raise kids. So he talked to my dad about it. So then he went to law school and came out here. And otherwise, but at first he was planning on being a history teacher, a college teacher, a history teacher, which would have been okay with me. Mm-hmm. But
So we'll go back then. So then you met him, and you said you were dating sort of on and off for a year.
For a freshman, and then the next year.
He was gone then.
Then he graduated, and then he went into the Army. No, he hadn't gotten to the Army yet. And so then the next summer, we got back together again, and then in my sophomore year, we dated the whole time, you know. I mean, when he was in the Army, and he'd come back.
Because he was just at Fort Rush.
No, because then he was doing here, but he lived in Wichita at the time, so he would come back and then come up, and I'd wait for him. You know, we'd date whenever we had a chance to, and then got engaged in the next spring and got married down in Georgia.
Okay, at spring, which year is that?
That's my sophomore. It's the end of my sophomore year.
End of your sophomore year.
The end of my sophomore year, yes. And then he was stayed at Fort Rice, so that's why I went to K-State for a year.
Oh,
well, I was pregnant, and then the next year I had a baby, and I just said, "Heck with it," to raise a baby.
So you got married after your sophomore year,
correct?
And then went to K-State and had a baby, and then you didn't,
didn't finish
college after
then,
that.
Did not go to finish college.
Okay, well, tell us about this. He was being shipped to Germany. Is the story or?
Yeah, he was being shipped to Germany, and he was down in Augusta, and he got his orders cut to go to Germany. And so we were going to get married in June, you know, but then this was about, a couple of weeks, I can't remember. Anyway, he called and he said, "Sally, I'm going to be shipped to Germany," you know. So I said, "Well, we better get married before." So, you know, and my folks agreed because they did happen to like Alan. So they said, "Well, we better get you married so that you can get over there, you know, as an Army wife." So we headed down there, 1,400 miles. It was my mother and my father and my mother-in-law and father-in-law and Alan's brother and myself in this car. Yeah. And my daddy had to stop about every hour and a half to have a cigarette and coffee. And all I wanted to do was get down there. So when we finally got down there, you know, hi everybody, you know, stuff like that. And then Alan and I went off somewhere, and Alan said, "You know," he said, "my orders are transferred to Fort Riley, Kansas. Do you think we can still get married?" And I said, "Oh, I hope so. You know, I hope to." So we went up to the bedroom where my folks were and said, "Daddy," I said, "you know, he's being shipped to Riley instead of Germany, but we still want to get married." My dad said, "God damn right you're going to get married. I drove 1,400 miles." So anyway, we got married.
So where did you get married? In your wedding dress?
No, I had I didn't go in for big weddings. Mm-hmm. And so I had my little lacy dress, you know, really cute, and got married on post. But Alan found a suit that was he got us in a suit. Yes, well, you know, for a corporal's uniforms are so we got married in a little chapel down there, which is fine with me. The only one I wanted there wasn't there was my best friend Helen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise that was fine. I just in the big weddings. Mm-hmm. You know, so yes, we got married.
And you didn't want to ride home in that car with all that family.
No, so I stayed down with Alan and flew home.
First plane?
Well, no, it wasn't my first plane. It might have been my first big plane trip. I had this friend that Alan was working for that summer, it was Jan Hallen, he flew planes, and so he was kind of like a boy friend, not a boyfriend, mm-hmm. you know. And he'd fly in to Kinsley. My folks would take me down to the airport, and Jan would pick me up. We'd go flying, and then they'd come and pick me up at the airport again. So I did fly in a little tiny planes quite a bit. I loved that. But big planes, I think maybe that was my first.
Now, were you with Alan,
he was still down there. Then I had to fly back home, mm-hmm. you know, and then we got together. And a little blurry now, it was over 50 years ago. but no, then we got back, and then we moved into a crappy little apartment in Manhattan, And then he'd go to the base, you know, pour it every day and stuff like that. And when it would rain, the mud would come into the basement floor. And it was very adventurous, you know, and didn't care a bit. You know, you look back and you think of the awful places we lived, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do that again. Oh gosh, let's see, what else?
So then, let's see, you were there a year and you had your first baby.
Yeah, and then Alan went to law school.
And he went to KU or Washburn?
KU, yes. Mark went to Washburn, but Alan went to KU Law School. And, you know, it was fine, but I had two kids then, and most everybody else didn't have any.
Right in an apartment, married house?
Yes, it was an apartment. Yes, it was a duplex. And it was the best place we'd ever lived in.
And what'd you do for money?
Well, my dad would give us $50 a month, I think, you know. And then Alan worked. He was an assistant track coach. Oh. And, you know, and we just didn't spend a lot. Mm-hmm. I wore clothes from college. You know, we just didn't do much. We'd go out. Of course, gas was cheap, so for our entertainment, we'd go out and go around the hills. You know, Lawrence is beautiful, so we'd go out and pick wild strawberries and go, you know, wade in the creeks there, and that's what we did. We'd hardly went to movies or anything like that, but no, we just didn't do a lot.
And was law school 2 years?
4 years. But Alan got out at least a semester. Yeah, I think it's 4 years. Yeah, it was 4 years. But, I had Cena, and then,
Cena was 58, and Ann was 61, and Glenn was 62.
And we just moved out here the spring of 62. So, and Cena was 58, and 59, 60.
No, because he was in the Army in there.
He got out of the Army about 2 weeks before Cena was born, so Alan had to borrow money from Daddy to get us out of the hospital because the Army wouldn't pay for it. Because
have been induced a couple of times.
Well, I had to do a lot of walking because I wanted him there when I had the baby, you know, and he had to go back and start calling. So I walked for like 2 days. I just walked all over town and finally had him, and then he left like the next morning after the baby was born, you know, just had to get up there. So, oh God, thank God we were young then.
And you came back to Kinsley
in 62, in the spring of 62.
And he went right into the law firm.
Right in with Dad, yes. He went right in as a junior partner, partner with Daddy. And so he was a third lawyer, he was a family lawyer. And then, of course, when Mark came in, that makes fourth generation. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. I remember when Mark said he wanted to go to law school. Alan said, what the hell for? But Mark's kind of like his dad. He just wanted to raise kids in a small town.
And where did you live when you came back?
We lived in a house on 607 East 7th Street. And it's a big old brick house with a carriage porch. I don't know if you noticed it. Do you know which one it is, Rosetta?
Glasses?
Matt Platt's house. Yes, they bought it from us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Platt's house.
That's a lovely house.
It's a wonderful house. Yeah, and Alan, while we moved from there, I love that house. And Alan called me a Monday morning and said, Sally, what do you think about living on a farm? And I said, well, I don't know. Why? And he said, well, Melva Converse just called me and asked me some lawyer advice about something, knowing that she has this house up for sale. And I said, well, it's going to have to be a hell of a house or I ain't moving. You know, I mean, and so he said, well, she said we could come out this afternoon. So we came out here, walked in, and I said, okay.
And what year was that?
That was in 74. The winter of 74. It was like in November of 74. And so we bought it in about like a day and a half. I mean, we decided we were going to do that. And I can remember the boys thought it was wonderful, and the girls said, oh, we're going to live so far, we'll never see our friends again, you know. And of course now everybody just loves this house, but you know, it's a great family house. And it's perfect distance from town. Mm-hmm. You can walk it if you have to, you know. And I never had a day think I thought maybe I'd be homesick. I never was homesick. I just was ready for this house.
Mm-hmm.
But that house was a cool house.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a cool house. But this is even cooler. It's better arranged.
No, they're different.
Completely different. So.
Okay, let me see here.
Let's see.
Do you remember the school consolidation?
No, I do not remember that. No, the junior high, Lewis had a high school, and we had a high school, and Overly, I think, had a high school. Maybe did. No, I do not, I think.
Well, I would have been
in school yet, so it didn't affect.
No, it didn't affect me at all. It just, as far as when I was growing up, it didn't affect me, and then, you know, I can remember the kids going to over to to Overly. They did something like that at the time. They used to go here, but they all went to Southside School, and then they had the next four grades in Northside. When one of the kids, because I remember we go to the parent teachers, and I go to the Southside for parent teachers, then I go to Northside for parent teachers, then I go to Overly and the high school. So I had one in each. For 1 year, I had one in each different school. Yeah, I can remember that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. When you married Al, he was Catholic?
Nope. He was kind of Methodist. Yeah. Kind of. They went to church all the time. Mm-hmm. His folks were school teachers, you know, and you did go to church.
Okay.
Your school teacher. And, you know, if I think about in our high school, all the teachers were Methodists.
Right.
You know, I mean, they were all Methodists. And, I got to get it somewhere that the best teacher I ever had in high school, college, anything, was Miss Pearl Petrick.
Why?
She was the only one. She could look at you, and you just wanted to crawl on the floor. So you did everything you could, because I loved her. You know, so you didn't want her to look at it. And she taught Latin and journalism and English. And that's the only thing that prepared me for any kind of work in college was Pearl Pretty. She was great.
We always ask about hospitals. Did you have any, you never had any of your children?
Yes, I had.
You had Mark?
No, I had. Athena was born here in the old hospital. Annie was born in Lawrence. Then Glenn and Mark were born here.
Okay.
In the old hospital.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and I can remember when I had seen him, I was going to breastfeed. And it wasn't in the end thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to breastfeed. Well, are you sure you want to? And I said, I'm going to breastfeed. You know, I've been doing it for 100,000 years, so I was going to breastfeed. So I can remember all the nurses had come in, because they hadn't seen anybody breastfeed before, you know, and I was all on my own. I didn't have any of these classes or anything, but I thought everybody else could, you know, I do it. My mother said she wished she could have, but at the time they just didn't do it,
yeah, right.
You know, and she always kind of wished she had them. She said she wished she had guests like I did, because I said, I'm going to figure it out if you guys can't figure it out. I'm going to breastfeed, so I did. But I can remember all the nurses, everybody came in, and that was wonderful.
Now, how much time did you spend in your child bed when you gave birth to these kids? Were you staying in the hospital 1 day, 5 days?
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
for at least, or something. Now, with Mark, he was RH baby, you know,
mm-hmm.
the factor he had. So I stayed in there kind of a week with him, because I can remember thinking, if I could just get him home, he'd be fine. You know, they didn't want to wake me up, so they would give him little stuff in the nursery, you know, and of course you didn't have the baby in your room like
right.
they do now, and I can remember thinking, if I just get my kid home, we'll be fine, and the minute I got him home, we were fine. So.
And then you adopted Lisa?
Lisa, when she was about 18. We had her as a foster child for a while.
Oh.
And then we decided, well, why not? You know, and her parents were still alive. Her
what got you into the foster?
She just needed somebody. You know, she just needed somebody. And we just
she was
got to know her.
Here?
Yeah, she was in school here. She was Well, she was in Mark's class. Maybe that's how we got to know her. So anyway, we just fell in love with her, and she fell in love with us, and it was kind of serendipity both ways. And she did not have a... right before college, I said, why didn't we wait until we got through college? So she was... right before college. Well, so she was probably 17 or 18. She went to college with Mark, and we adopted her. Well, I take that back. I think we were sent her to college, and we adopted her that year.
Well, now, that's highly unusual for a teenager.
Yeah, but she did not have a very good...
So has she been hanging out at your house?
Yeah. You know, she'd be...
And you've been mothering her?
And mothering her and, you know, and stuff, then she just kind of came to live with us, and then we decided we'd pick cherries in the summer. Every time I pick cherries now, she and I would pick the cherries and then talk mother and daughter stuff over doing the pitting of the cherries and stuff. You know? And we still remember that's one of our fondest memories. And so then we sent her to college, and now she's doing exceptionally well. And she said she thought she never... One of the sweetest things she ever said, somebody says, I wish I'd win the lottery. And she says, I already did. Which I thought was very cool. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so she's doing really well. Her client, Sony, in California. So she's doing really well.
Well, maybe we should go through the other kids, too. What's Alice doing?
Her name's Cena.
No, just Cena.
It's Cena Garvin now, but she graduated from college, raised two boys, and then went back and got a master's in psychology, a master's in law, and a doctorate in psychology after training. And so she's working for the Army now as a psychiatrist, and she's been to Afghanistan and Alaska, and I'm not quite sure what she does, but she interviews soldiers that are coming back, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I think it's kind of basically, what do you need, what kind of help, you know, and stuff like that. She loves it, you know, she mm-hmm. just loves it. But see, she was an Army wife, her husband was a retired lieutenant colonel, and so they spent their whole, you know, all their married life until now, but he's retired also, so they both work for the Army. And so she's busy.
Okay, and Anne?
And Annie is, she worked out in California for years in the advertising movie business, and her husband's that. Now they live in Lawrence, and they're working for a small firm and have a child. She had her first child at 42. And they're still in advertising and they do also pictures. He's a very good photographer. He was an editor movie editor back in L.A. But they did, when they had a kid, that L.A. seemed all turned different. So they're trying to get a business going now here. You know, it's not the same thing as back there, but they're working on it. So, and Glenn's a Spanish teacher. He's been a Spanish teacher for a lot of years. Loves it. Kids can't get away with anything, because anything they try, he's already tried it.
And where is he?
And he's in Clearwater, and he's heading this fall in September. He's going to Cameroon. The family's going to Cameroon, teaching in a school in Cameroon. He's our adventurer. He's mm-hmm. been all over. He's been in Africa, and he's so excited about going back to Africa. He was in the Peace Corps, in the heart of darkness, literally in the middle of Africa, the Central African Republic, right there in the middle of Africa. And he loved that. He says he doesn't know how much help he was to them, but he got a lot out of it. He had a lot of interesting stories. You ought to interview him just about his experiences. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're going to Cameroon, excited about that. The mother's going to miss them a little bit. But anyway, and then, of course, Mark's here as a lawyer with five kids, married a local girl, Beth Gleason, who's an absolute doll. Mm-hmm. So
out of the five children, one stayed in
Kinsley. Yes.
Out of your graduating class, how many do you think stayed?
I was trying to think. I saw that little note. I'm trying to think how many there was. There was Jerry and Deanne Anderson and myself, and Ronnie Littrell stayed here. He was in my class. And Ruth Bernotsky, Domi, was in my class. And Rosalie Castanate, Pete Castanate, Rosalie is in my class. And, how to get the list.
So So maybe like 10 out of the 50 years.
Oh, God. I don't know. Do you want me to get to my little...
Well, maybe when we're done. Yeah. It's just sort of an interesting...
Yeah.
Because we're talking, exploring the...
There wasn't a lot of going to college. I mean, there weren't that many with the KU. There was Helen and I and Judy Kopp. There was about four of us going to KU. Then some went to Hayes. And like I said, I guess some might have, must have gone to Kansas State. But by then, by the time that, my whole attention was KU. And I don't know where the others went, you know, except for a few, like... Vine Nichols, well, she wasn't my class, but she
was. Probably a lot of them went in the service.
Yeah, some of them went in the service.
Down for that reason.
Yeah, that's right. They probably did. Yeah, but I don't know what happened to them.
Well, you know, one of our explorations is the declining population.
Oh, yeah.
And we see it, like, in your class. Yeah. And then in your children, one out of five kids.
Exactly, yeah. There's nothing they can do, you know. It's sad, you know. We don't need another lawyer. I wish one of them, well, I do have my one grandson is a RN now. He did it twice. So thank God I got some medical. The older I get, the more important that is.
So what changes have you seen come about because of the declining population?
Well, it's sad. It's just sad, you know. It just the kids, you know. You try to buy in Kinsley, and with losing Duckwalls, that really hurts Kinsley, and everybody's pissed with that. And it just they still, you know, the movies. They don't have the movies anymore, and I don't know. And I don't know if kids can run around town like we used to. This is kind of off that subject,
right.
But you know, I was thinking one of my grandsons was here, and he said, "Oh, I remember running around through your lilacs, making a little pass in the light." And I thought, "My God, I can remember doing that as a kid at night." Do you remember that, Rosette? You'd go, you'd make pass through the lilac bushes, mm-hmm. and it'd be after dark, and you hide from the cars, you know. And it was so innocent, you know. And you, no vandalism or on our part, but you just do all these at nighttime. You know, you could be out at nighttime and see the stars. We had a little, one of Lisa's, where her first husband was from Mexico, and he had a nephew come up, and he and his mother came up. They didn't speak English, but they came out here and stayed with us. And Lisa and I said, you know, we ought to take, I can't remember what boy's name, take him out and see outdoors. So we took him down the road in the middle of, you know, where it was dark, and you could hear the coyotes, and I'll never forget that little boy's eyes. You know, and he said, look at the stars. He, you know, and we don't appreciate that. You know, and Lee said to this day, he's old now, you know, he's 20 or 30, but he said that was his best vacation. Just, you know, city kids just don't have that we had. They just really don't have that. And the police, you know, when I was growing up, we had Whitey and Cliff Kirkbride, and Whitey, somebody, Whitey pulled me over one time. But you know, Whitey Gordley, yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, and they were around forever. They knew the kids, they knew who the ones they really had to watch, and the ones they just had to say, you know, knock it off. And it was just so innocent, seemed to me. Now, I mean, it probably wasn't as innocent as I remember it, but to me it was. And it's a lot, I know it was a lot more innocent. There was no drugs. And my first drink, I think, when I graduated from high school, we went over to a supper club in Dodge, and I think maybe I had a drink. But I had the first drink I had. And I remember, before I went to college, I thought, I'm going to learn to smoke. I was wild. I was wild. But it was just, and of course, my kids, Annie says it was kind of like that to her, you know, growing up. You know, it's still innocent, but it didn't have drugstores that you can go to at night. You know, Saturday night was a big deal in Kinsley.
Tell us about it.
Saturday night, the stores were open until like 11 o'clock. I mean, like the drugstores, the movie. I don't think the clothing stores were, but I can remember you'd go there, and then people would come in, farmers would all come into town. I mean, that was the day they do their shopping. They'd come into town, and I did worked in a drugstore part-time, just once in a while, you know. But everybody would be in town and go in after their sodas and stuff, and it was just everybody was in town because that was the day, and everybody got together and I guess ate out. We never ate out. My folks didn't eat out, but, you know, it was just a big deal. Saturday was a big deal. I mean, the stores were open all day on Saturday and late in the evening. Yeah, can you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were, oh, she's so much younger than me. I still think of her as a baby.
You're the only one. But I worked at Duckbowl's when I was, and, you know, you were there until 10 o'clock.
They were there still open too, okay.
Until 10 o'clock, and then you started closing down.
Yeah.
And we had like 4 cash registers going.
Yeah.
With line.
Yeah.
Especially when
the
school was getting started.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was just... And you could get almost everything. I can remember when we did go out of town, my mother always wore a hat and gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we went to Larned,
mm-hmm.
you know, the hat and gloves, and I didn't have to because I was little, but I remember it was a big deal, even going to Dodge and riding the elevator and Dodge, you know, with the Eccles. That was so cool.
Did you get your Easter hat every year?
Well, kind of, but we weren't really into mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But yes, I usually got some kind of a fun thing for Easter, you know, and stuff, but, no, we didn't work really into that, but I did love Easter. I can remember Easter, you know, and we had the eggs and all that stuff, and Christmas was a big deal, and Santa Claus was a big deal, and but no, we didn't. I've been to church more since Mark married Beth than 10 years. Anyway, but no, Saturday night was a big deal, and like Alan said, it was a big deal in all the little towns he grew up in Iowa. It was just a big deal. It was just a big deal. And Sunday, everybody went to church, and we took the kids to church when they were little, because we thought they ought to, and somebody said they could remember, it looked like Alan and I, and then our 4 kids trailing behind us, and it looked like Mom and Daddy Duck with the 4 little kids going there. And one of them said, Sally, you look so damn happy. So, well, I don't know, they were, Glenn hadn't done anything right then. He behaved himself for a little while. I was thankful for that.
Well, when did you start painting?
In college. I mean, when I was home and Alan was going to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I started kind of messing around, just, you know, I'd always done little things, you know, crafty things. I was always doing crafty things, and then my brother-in-law, bless his heart, I don't know why, brought me an oil box of paints,
mm-hmm.
and I just started doing that, you know, just had no, and I still don't do well, but I mean, I still enjoy it, and sometimes they turn out fine. When I go to an art store, I think, well, my picture could be next to that one, and then I'll see, and I said, but I don't want next to this one, you know, and stuff, so then, and just pit along, you know, and just all through the years, I've just been doing it, and whenever I had time, and I'm not an organized person, you know, I kind of do what I want to do, but so I wish I was a little more organized and get down to doing it, and then I will for a while, and then my garden comes up, and then I start working in my garden, but, you know, I've been painting on and off since then, kind of, and I'm good enough that I keep doing it. I'm not good enough that I'm going to show people all my stuff, but some of them are good.
Do you take instruction of any kind?
June McLaren was my first art instructor, and I don't know if you know her, but she was a wonderful painter and a marvelous teacher. You know, she really got me in on the basics, and we used to have art classes, and a group of people would go out there, and we'd go out and paint, and Alan called us the metal arcs, and it was a very nice time, you know, because we really got into it, and I learned so much from June, and if I just kept at it.
When was this? What years?
These were, my kids were at least in high school, so I'm trying to think of when it would be.
The 80s, probably.
Probably the 80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. When they went to college, or they kind of spread out. We had 4 kids in college one time. So. I don't know what Mark and Beth are going to do. But anyway, so I still... My children love my paintings, by the way. so mm-hmm. I have a very good audience.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I do eggs, you know, I do like little Easter egg type things, so that's...
Yeah,
so,
two of the eggs
yeah,
there.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen those before.
Yes, you've seen those eggs before.
Oh,
I like
that one. That's the one. Where did I get that?
Somewhere.
Maybe Jerry bought it for me when we had the shop.
Yeah, I had some of them for sale at the mm-hmm. shop, yeah.
It's out. It's actually decorating.
Right okay, now. Good. Just don't let the sun hit it.
No.
That's the only thing I tell people. Just the sun fade them just like that. I had about 10 or so in my shop window, you know. And it's in the north, so I didn't think anything about it. And I picked them up, and then they were all faded on one side. So Lisa wanted them, so she got them. You know. Anyway. What have we forgotten? I don't know. Painting and gardening and reading are my hobbies. I can't dance anymore. Last time I danced was about a week ago. I'm 74 now, and about 2 months ago we were at something, and they do it now on the floor, and now I used to really be good jitterbugger. And so we went out there to do our thing, and it's just before we got the song ended, I said, "For God's sakes, don't dip, Al." And he said, "I'm not." And he laughed, and I said, "For God's sakes, don't dip." We had both just been flat on the floor. Oh, dear. Well,
let's see. Anything else we've forgotten that
let's see. I don't know how anybody, but I don't know who in the world's going to be interested in this, but...
Oh, yeah, you've got good stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, probably think of something else, but I can't think of anything right now.
Oh,
you don't. Let's see. Well, you go to the doctor. Yeah, just the doctor, you know, they come to the house, and, you know, they, I don't know how many times Snowblin or Unruh would come to your house almost when they were sick. I really remember them coming to the house more than going to the... I remember having to go to the dentist all by myself going up those stairs. That was scary. That's one reason I think I'm brave to this day, is because I can do that.
Now, what? You're a good library patron now. Do you have any stories about library, or didn't you read?
Yes. Okay. When the library used to be over across from Annalyn's office up in Jenny. What was her name?
Elsie Jenkins.
Elsie Jenkins. And the library was up above. Do you know where Annalyn's office is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, across the street, you know where the old library used to be. You know, that's where it was when I was a little girl. And I'd go up Elsie Jenkins, and I went there all the time. I loved reading. And Olsa and something Johnson, they were adventurers.
Olsa Johnson.
You know, they lived down Independence or something, you know, which I didn't know before. But anyway, I read all their books. Oh, I thought that was anything on African stuff and adventure things. I read that, you know, I read those, and I remember... Folks had Bram Stoker's Dracula in the house, and I read that, scared out of me, and I said something to Elsie, and she said, "Oh, you're too young to read that," you know, but it wasn't. So, yes, Kon-Tiki, I don't know, mm-hmm, these, you know, oh, I love that type of book, yeah, I love Kon-Tiki, but I was going up there all the time reading. I can remember before I got in that, I read all the little children's books, you know, I get there, but I was up there all the time. I can't remember my other friends being up there all the time, but I was.
Yeah.
I always have loved the libraries. Anyway. And by the way, whoever listened to this, Joan's the best librarian we have ever had, and Rosetta's the best helper she's ever had. Yeah,
she's the best librarian.
You're both.
I'm an okay director.
You're wonderful. You're both wonderful.
She's
the director.
Director.
Okay. You're both wonderful, by the way.
Thank you. Anything else you want to know about anything?
My highlights of the past 40 years. You realize I'm 70, so that leaves.
Well, you have how many grandchildren?
I have 10 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're all, as they say, they're all smart and beautiful.
Okay.
That's right. That's what we want.
That's why. And they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Yeah, I can remember the blacks. I can remember Kenny Gaines, the only black in town, and Kenny was a marvelous kid. And he was talented. He was musical and in track and in sports and everything. And I can remember Alan and Johan took him up to KU to get him enrolled. I remember doing that because I kind of forgot that. But one time Glenn was in the one of the rooms where you do muscle work, you know, whatever that's called. And this black kid was next to him, and they got to talking, and he said, where are you from? And Glenn said, Kinsley. He said, oh, really? He said, do you know Al Frame or Joe Hamm? And Glenn said, yeah, Al's my dad. And he says, really? He says, well, they took my dad up here to go to school, and it was Kenny's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kenny was a terrific kid, and I can remember coming back when Winchester's had their 90th or 80th anniversary or something, you know, whatever it was, and Kenny was back there. That's the last time I saw him, but he's a lawyer in Hudson, Washington now. Washington, D.C.
South Carolina.
Oh, it's South Carolina now? Do you know anything about
that? We are hoping to interview him. He's agreed.
We'll wonderful. All right. Well, he was quite classy.
And yeah. He went to KU because of an athletic scholarship?
I don't know exactly what you're asking, but I just remember Alan Joanne took him up there.
Okay.
That's all I could. I didn't even know that. And you asked him, is that right? But that's what his kids told my kid.
And then Glenn just ran into his
son.
They
just happened to see his son. I know it was his son. Because Kenny was that much. Yes, it was his son. And, they just got to talking over their weights, you know, mm-hmm. when they were doing weight work or something like that. Yeah.
Huh.
That's very cool, isn't it?
Right,
yeah.
It's a small world is what
it
is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that interview.
That'll be very interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that might do it, maybe.
Okay. Well, I hope. Oh, you have about 4-H in here.
Oh, were you in 4-H?
I was in 4-H. You want to turn this back on?
Well, this is still going one way or the other.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was in 4-H, and they had the Kinsley Live Wires.
Hmm.
And I was a city girl, but they let city girls in there because cooking and sewing. And I ended up being a pretty good sewer. And Geneva Kopp taught us sewing, and my mother taught cooking. And I was a much better sewer than I was cook. But I remember just loving it. And oh, God, we have, anybody that was in 4-H, we'd have these model meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about model meetings? Boring. You had to have a meeting, and you had to have Rogers Rules of Order.
Mm.
And you had to have a meeting, and then you presented it at the county fair, and then you did the state fair if you won, you know. And everybody had their little set thing, and you had all the rules, and had a model meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to practice these. Well, you know how fun meetings are anyway. And then to do this. So I remember that was dreadful to have to do those. But we had fun cooking and sewing and demonstrations and... Oh, one of the funny stories is Janice Hines, she was in 4-H with me, and we did a demonstration on how to make cookies. And we got up before, and this was kind of late in the afternoon, a hot summer day. Janice and I were both kind of not too serious people, and, you know, when you did demonstrations in 4-H, you could not show any advertising, you know, anything like that. Well, we got up there, we forgot to take, I don't know, salt or something. He had that up there with the advertising on, so we kept trying to turn it so that people couldn't see it. Then we were putting the flour in, and it too fast and went poof all over the place. And of course, by then we started to get the giggles, and everybody was sitting there, and everybody was tired. And I think we got a blue because everybody just loved our demonstration because we started having fun, you know. And it was a chaos, just absolutely chaos. Janice and I still I don't know, and the butter wasn't soft, and I don't know, it was just awful. But it was more fun, and 4-H, it did teach me to sew. And I remember to this day sometimes I look on the inside of dresses and see how they are put together, you know, and Geneva got, but anyway, so 4-H was fun.
Hey, well, let me go from that, another question I've never asked any, you know, women, but when your children were little in the 60s and 70s, were you in organizations that were there?
No, too busy
doing kids.
I had a bridge club, but I'm trying to think. No, I wasn't. Well, I did. I was in the hospital auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did that. In fact, I ended up president of that for once, and did blood bank. You know, and did the service type things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and stuff. And the kids, I don't think they were in track. Of course, by then the girls' team was in track. You know, and the kids were in basketball. The girls were in sports, and the boys were in sport. And but they none wanted to be in 4-H. I think they were in Boy Scouts. Maybe Glenn was in Boy Scouts for 2 seconds. Maybe. Or maybe he just said, I said, do you want to be in Boy Scouts? And 2 seconds later he said, no. I can't remember exactly how that went. But anyway. No, they were
okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I just,
yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay.
Alrighty, let me see if we figure out how to stop this.
It'll be absolutely fascinating when I hear what I've said.